Very apt to have that, Barry. Yes, very helpful. Good morning. I apologize in advance for a nasal talk, but after a year of not having a cold, it descended upon me this week. I'd like us to think about after the resurrection, which is what we've read about from this chapter here. So we're thinking about the appearance and the disappearance of Jesus. And there are two things in particular that I'd like just to reflect upon from this passage. First of all, the proof of the real Jesus and the peace, the real peace. If you don't have as yet the faith to believe in God and in his Son and in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no way that I could actually prove to you from the Bible that these things happened, because you have to have a basic belief that God is real and his word is true. But there are times, even as Christians, those of us who believe, to just reflect upon the word of God and assure ourselves and just give us that actual confirmation that yes, these things are true and that they happened. And so it's good just to visit these verses again, which tell us so many things. So in verse 19, we have the first visit of Jesus as he appeared before his disciples through locked doors, locked because they were in fear of the Jews, what they might do to them. And then in verse 26, we have the second visit. A week later, Jesus appears again through locked doors, and the disciples believed and knew that it was Jesus. It's interesting, isn't it, when you think about it, Jesus is now the other side of death. You've got to think about that for a minute. He died, he rose again, never to die anymore, only to go to the presence of God. So there would be differences about him, things that we can't grasp, but we are told about, and by faith we have to believe. So he could pass through material substance and appear. After all, he rose from the tomb. The linen clothes were left there as they were left around his body, but he disappeared. And when Mary met him in the garden, she didn't realize at first who it was till he spoke. It was his voice and the name Mary that touched her hearts. And it was the two on the road to Emmaus whose eyes were held from understanding who this was until Jesus revealed himself in a physical action of breaking bread and drinking wine. So there was something different about how he looked, and yet he was in that same body which held the nail prints in his hands and his feet. So by the things that Jesus said to the disciples, they realized that this was the same Jesus. And then they saw the marks and they realized that this was the same Jesus. And then a remarkable thing, there and then he commissioned those disciples who were there and was going to send them out as witnesses of his death and resurrection in the miracle of the power of the Spirit of God. And there and then, not waiting till Pentecost, we read, it was like an advance blessing in that Jesus breathed upon them and they received the Holy Spirit and they were already able to preach and to speak about this one that they had seen. And then, of course, we have Thomas, who came along just wanting to see for himself, to feel the body of his Lord and to know that he really existed. And when he did that, he realized that this was his Lord. And we have that wonderful verse which says, because you have seen, Jesus said, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. That's we who have believed in the death and resurrection of Jesus are blessed because we've believed by faith and not seen. I like the poem who we are asking if we could just have something to help us to realize that Jesus is real. And so these sort of proofs were proofs to the disciples. They wouldn't have been proofs to people outside in the nation. And then there's another proof which is very vital, which applies to all of us. The proof that by the life that we live, we show that Jesus is alive. By the way we walk and talk and handle the word of God, and we speak to people, and we make known the name of Christ, this should be effective with other people. This should make them realize that we have something extra. We have a life that God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ. But Jesus promised that all those who believe in him to be the Son of God will have eternal life. That still applies to us today. If we believe, we have eternal life. And that life can start now. We can begin to enjoy the life that is eternal. Doesn't mean to say that we won't die and be raised at the resurrection, but we can start the beginning of that eternal life that has been promised to us. And then we have the proof of what Jesus had told his disciples. If we go on into Acts chapter 1, there we have that wonderful time when Jesus was with his disciples and he said, I'm going to the Father, and as I go, so I will come again in like manner. And here we have what you might say the first man in space. Jesus, in bodily form, went through the clouds to wherever he was destined in the presence of God. Quite remarkable. We have the physical and the spiritual mixed together. And that's always hard for us to handle. In the Gospels, we see Jesus as both man and God. And here we have that same combination of trying to understand what he was and who he was after his death. Now you might find that a problem, just as you might find the problem of the virgin birth, or the problem of the resurrection itself. But they are all mysteries that God has performed, and they're for us there to believe. It's all part of our faith and trust in what God has done. So we may struggle and understand these things, but God has given them us to believe and to have faith. And that's what the Christian life, as we know, is all about. It's having faith in the things which are unseen, the things which are difficult to handle, the things which we can't explain, but we feel and know are true. There's much more one could say about that, but we'll leave that to your own consideration as you read the chapter again. So let's think a little bit about peace. Peace is a very wonderful word and a wonderful commodity. I wonder what we think about peace, how we describe peace. Do we think of it as hiding ourselves away from everything that's going on, sitting by a river, listening to music, things where we can be completely isolated and consider our thoughts? And then one of the most wonderful weekends of peace that we ever enjoyed was in some cabins in the mountains in Norway that belonged to some friends of ours. And you could go outside and there was not a sound. There wasn't a bird or anything. It was completely still. And they say that sometimes stillness can affect people. Well, it does in both ways. It can either drive you silly or you can make the most of that quietness. And I'm sure we will have periods in our life when we have what we call peaceful times. But is that real peace? You see, you could live in a monastery or a convent and you could be confined to a cell. Is that peace? Not necessarily. It depends what we're thinking about, because the problem is that wherever we are in isolation, we still have our minds. And that's where it all goes on. That's where the worries and the concerns come from. That's where the fear comes from. That's where the attack happens. That's where the disruption is caused in our minds. So we can be in a quiet place and yet not be at peace. And I'm sure we've all experienced that. You see, peace is not just a cessation of noise. Peace is more than that. Peace is not when you take everything away and it's still. Peace is a positive gift that God can give us and that Jesus gave to his disciples. Just as life is a positive gift, so is peace. It's like a commodity. It's a reality. And it can help us to overcome and delete those thoughts that are chasing around in our minds, even that may be more unhealthy. Peace. Remember when Jesus was in the boat on the Mediterranean, sorry, on the Galilee, Lake of Galilee, and the storm blew up and he lay there asleep. And they woke him, and the disciples said, "Lord, we want you to help. We're going to sink." And remember how he stood up, and he calmed the seas. And he said, "Peace, be still." That's the same peace. And look at the effect that his peace had upon his creation. That's the power that Jesus has. That's what Jesus can do for us. You see, he is the Prince of Peace. From these verses here, we can learn that one, he can relieve our fears as he did with the disciples. They were afraid of what may happen to them by the Jews and others that were out for their lives. But the fact that he gave them peace, they were relieved of their fears. He could establish his identity and prepare them for listening to his voice. They recognized by the words that he spoke who he was. He can remove all doubts and confusion of faith by giving us peace. He can help us to rest in his promises. We can be content. How often do we feel content? How often do people in the world feel content? Not very often, I'm sure. There is so much to bring worry and confusion. And yet, we can have the real peace that Jesus gives. Paul said, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 5. He gives us that peace. Do you know that real peace in your heart? When you're going through the difficult times of life, when things are sitting on your mind, you have concerns about people. When we do things ourselves and make mistakes, then sometimes we can overcome those. But when it's to do with other people and we can have no control over that situation, that is so often when we are fearful and when we find ourselves powerless to help and we worry and we have a little peace. But God can help us in those situations. He doesn't take the situation away, but he gives us that peace to ride through the storm and to know that everything is in his hands. So it's not an easy thing that I'm talking about, just to know the peace of God in our hearts, but it's something that we pray that he will give us as we are in a certain dilemma. It's difficult to reach that point in a mad world such as ours, in a divisive world, in a cruel world, with so much that is going on that hurts and is hateful. To know real peace in our hearts and minds is a wonderful gift that we can know. Sometimes we can be in a situation where we find we want to concentrate upon God and to know his mind, but we just can't seem to get there. And I think often if we turn to his word and we read it, that is a calming effect in itself. That can take away the things that are occupying us and filling our minds with his voice and what he is saying to us. And that's important, to give that time to listen to God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. We can't understand how it works, what God does in giving us this peace, but it transcends everything. And it will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And know how we need to guard our minds with the things we see around us, and to being inquisitive in things that maybe are best to leave alone. And the things that attack us in thoughts and in pictures in our minds, we can know peace and be helped through those troubled times. So it's very important to consider these verses and the words of Jesus. And we might just say at any time in a service or at the end of it, the peace of the Lord be with you. And we mean that, but it's very, very powerful. And to really know the peace of the Lord is something that is a great gift. And God desires we might all enjoy what he has for us. So maybe be encouraged from these verses to recognize and understand that Jesus is alive. Jesus lives. He has been raised from the dead, the vital part of our belief. And he has ascended into heaven to be in the presence of God one day, promising to come again. And in the meantime, as he has gone into heaven, so he's sent the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts. And the Holy Spirit can give us that peace which he longs that all of us may enjoy. May God bless his word. Amen.